funk, get ready, funk. Pretty sure nobody cares. The sound has been irrelevant for 25 years. So why bother? Why persist? What's the use in producing this? Well, I guess I made the album for me, hoping there's another Andy out in humanity. But whatever the case, the tune is fresh. Even if I am the only one truly impressed, I know I'm getting older, but
that Loma feels a bit raw. Here we go. We're off.
Red button.
We're off and racing.
Red button.
Ring,
fuck, ding, where's my notes?
Where's my notes? So one of the bands I was going to pick, I had down for a Joker album, right, was the New Groove Martyr album. I thought,
new?
Yeah, yeah, last couple of weeks.
I thought it looked like old, remixes of older stuff.
Ah, well, okay, that might make a bit more sense then, because we're coming home from somewhere and I was like, I'll put something new on for Vanessa. And she really likes Groove Armada. I put this on. And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, she really liked Groove Armada. What we both need to acknowledge is that 40-something women are not as interested in the new versions of the old music that they used to like than we are necessarily.
True, but this sounded like a blend of Phil Collins and Wham.
Oh, Christ.
And I even said to her, does this sound a bit... And she's like, Phil Collins-y? And I was like, yes, it really does. Yeah. What is going on here? Yes. I was like, I'm so glad I didn't pick this.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight, and I'm not a fan.
I would have been destroyed. I would have absolutely been destroyed if I'd picked an album that sounded a cross between Phil Collins and Wham. So we will not be doing Groove Armada anytime soon.
Well, the Wham would be much more preferable to the Phil Collins, to be perfectly honest.
Mm.
Should we talk about the albums we did actually do this week?
That would be good.
Should we start? Let's go alphabetical. We'll start with your man, Andy Cooper, formerly of Ugly Duckling. So, can we start with this? How well do you think Ugly Duckling did out of their peak? Do you think that, I mean, they were a name band. I mean, people had heard of them. They played festivals all around the world and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah, but they were a niche. They were a niche hip-hop band.
Do you think they've got, like, a comfortable life now, or...?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, they were niche, but they were... I mean, you weren't living off the proceeds, would you?
They were the hip-hop version of... No, I think they would. I think they were the hip-hop version of Patton's band, of Brain Freeze.
Mr. Bungle. I was going to say they're more like Electric Six.
No, Faith No More, because Faith No More were never massive in the States. Like, Faith No More were much bigger in Europe and here than they ever were in the States. And I think that's...
Oh, okay.
I think Ugly Duckling were a little bit like that. They were a solid band in the US, but they were much more appreciated.
They were bigger in overseas markets.
Yeah.
A bit like Fat Freddy's Drop, inexplicably huge in Europe.
Yeah.
So the point I'm trying to get to here is that... I mean, we're now, you know, 20-odd years beyond Ugly Duckling's peak. And I'm guessing the residuals for Ugly Duckling have kind of dried up. But I didn't think Andy Cooper would be reduced to the point where he's now doing personal commissions. Let's be honest here. You paid him to make this album for you, didn't you? This album was made for you. I've never heard anything in the 6 years we've done this podcast that appears to have been fucking prescribed to sound like... Could you make an album that sounds like Bezo? Bang! Right down to the opening line about it, you know, nobody cares, it's been 25 years since people like this stuff and I'm just going to make this album for myself. And it's like... It's literally the sequel to Format Nabs' Wash Middle Age Heroics album.
Yeah, in terms of the content of it. It's awesome.
It's got all those golden era hip-hop loops and links.
Yep. Definitely
soul hooks.
The beats are awesome. In
grooves and all that sort of stuff. It could not be a more Bezo album. You know, it's almost like my youngest had a habit when we went to cafes. He would steal the sugars.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like if you got a bit of a sweet tooth and you just grab those raw sugar sachets from a cafe and stuff them down your throat. This is concentrated Bezo music. I couldn't think of an album that's more Bezo than this.
But
do you want to talk about this album, Bezo?
The problem
Do you want to talk about the album that you paid Andy Cooper to make for you?
the problem is, though, is that he, it's just not as balanced with just him. He's got that real staccato, super fast, rolling sort of rap. And I think it needs Dizzy Dustin.
My youngest actually said, why do they make this music? I can't understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
But this was immediately after he'd heard the track Listen, and he came in and said, I see you're listening to it. You're listening to a song but that you never actually follow the orders of. Which is usually something I accuse him of not listening. And when he said, I can't understand the words, I said, maybe you should listen.
Listen. So I think...
L-I-S-T-E-N.
I think it needs Dizzy to...
Dizzy Rascal. It definitely needs Dizzy Rascal.
It needs Dizzy to sort of break up the flow a little bit. I think it's just too much of him. Maybe he needed some guests? I don't
know. His name's on the sign-up sheet, as he says in the first
one. Yeah, I know.
It's his album.
I love the
beats.
And
he's the only one who wants to record anymore. This is a good album, eh? This is actually a really good, fun album. Because it doesn't have any... I don't think it has any weak tracks. I think it's just a really nice, fun, fucking bounce along. And it's one of those... It's a bit like to that Casanova's album from a few weeks ago. It's incredibly enjoyable, and yet I don't know where it fits into the album of the year because it is a little bit like sucking on a fucking sugar sachet at the cafe. You know, this is sweet and lovely, but it's not. Is this substantial?
Are you going to listen to this 50 times? That's what I couldn't decide. I was like, I fucking love this.
Are you going to listen to this in 5 years?
No, I think I'll go back and listen to Ugly Duckling. I would love to know.
Yeah, but they don't exist anymore.
I would love to know who.
And you don't want to be one of these fucking boomer affiliates who are obsessed about, you know, the seventh best Beatles album because they don't want to listen to anything new anymore.
I would love to know who wrote the beats for Ugly Duckling, because I always just assumed it was the DJ, it was Einstein, but this has got some fucking awesome beats. This is the beats.
Yeah, and
this
Einstein only helped him on a few tracks, I think. I think he's involved with Heart.
But man, the you could not fault the beats. I think I'd be more likely to listen to just the beats of this album put together that in 5 years' time than I would be to listen to the whole album, because it's fucking tight.
So I don't mind his
awesome.
Flow because it's so. It's so machine gun that it just he's but he's not obnoxious and over the top with it.
Machine gun, that's the term. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he's just there's certainly his flow is so rapid you can't help but be impressed by his wordsmanship.
There's points of it where you listen to bits of it,
and you're like, oh, that's really clever. I like that. That's well done. It reminds me a lot of the Beastie Boys in that respect, and I think that, and particularly the LA Beastie Boys. You know, the three albums they did on the West Coast: Paul's Boutique, Ill Communication, and Check Your Head, which was in between the two of them, which had the most West Coast hip hop kind of feel to them. They felt more, you know, that, and I've always felt like the Ugly Duckling felt more like that part of the Beastie Boys. And there's other West Coast hip hop, white hip hop connections there. But it does have that kind of, I'm rapping very quickly and I'm also very clever kind of feel to them. And to be fair, there were certainly a few tracks on that Format and Abs album of a few years ago where Abs was doing exactly that.
I would actually love to see an Abs Format Andy Cooper collaboration. That would be fucking awesome. That would be really good. There was a couple points of this album.
You couldn't tell the difference because this felt like this felt so much like a Format and Abs album.
Yeah.
And whenever you look on Spotify, you sort of see, you know, people also like, and it's very much Format, Abdominal. It's like, oh, yeah, really? Fucking shock me. It kind of feels like, because this is so obviously written for old white dudes who like golden era hip hop with a West Coast feel to it, it does feel like almost you know, if you were to say this is my favorite album of the year, I mean, if that's how you felt about it, it would kind of, it still kind of feel like cheating, because it's kind of so obviously a niche that nobody cares about except for people like you and I.
Yeah. But he obviously...
But it's still a bloody good album.
Either he's comfortable, he's either comfortable enough that he can just make, do whatever the fuck he wants, or there's enough of
Well, he lays it out in the beginning of the first track.
Hmm.
Well, he gets enough... Clearly, you Patreoning in this album has got him across the line. And you're making up some shit about you wanting the other guys on there. Obviously, you couldn't afford the next tier of the Patreon to get the other guys from the band involved.
That's right.
So all you could afford was Andy Cooper.
I wonder how much...
He's actually released another EP this year. And it sounds completely different. It's kind of early aughts, and it's mostly instrumental. It's nothing like this in terms of the beats or the vocal flow at all.
Well, I think it was last year.
American Double IPA is catching up with me.
Last year or the year before, he had an album. No, it was 2017. 2018.
It was called.
Oh yeah, 2018. That was the Layered Effect, and that was one like I found in June in 2019, and I really liked that album. And it does have an abdominal track on it actually. I'd missed it. So he's obviously been out there since Ugly Duckling, you know, called it a day. His first sort of album came out in 2016. So he's been banging them out 2016, 2017, 2018, 2020.
He's got to be our age at least, if not older.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Yeah.
So, I've got a vague recollection of you telling me that some of those Ugly Duckling tracks that were more soft-edged were actually, you know, because they'd become dads.
Mm. Yeah.
So, you know, they're...
But that's the thing.
I mean,
thing,
they're well-washed.
I guess
nobody cares. No one has cared about this for 25 years.
But what do you do? Do you keep writing music about your lived experience, or do you keep trying to be the young hip artist, you know? And look as fake as fuck.
I mean, if your lived experience doesn't change, if you're an AC/DC and you're still writing songs about getting drunk in bars and chasing women, that's still fair enough too, I suppose.
Yeah.
It would be sadder if they were still trying to write, you know, if Blink-182 were trying to write snotty skate punk songs when they're like 47 years old.
Mm.
Mind you, that last Blink-182 album was dog shit. So maybe they should have been writing songs about. Yeah, my girlfriend picks me up when I'm too drunk to drive.
Okay. Where will we go next? What's next on the...
What's next? Let's knock off VOCs or OCs or whatever you want to call them. These guys rolled out with some kind of frantic, fuzzy, experimental, psych garage kind of stuff. I mean, if you've heard... King Gizzard doing garage rock, then you're probably not too far away from the concept of this. It certainly strikes you if you've listened to this straight off the back of the Andy Cooper album. It certainly strikes you as being much much less accessible, and it takes quite a few tracks to kind of get your head into the space.
I was going
to
say,
where
is
all
this
obnoxious fuzz and gravel appeals to you?
Is this the that first song, man, I just had...
You never got into it.
I just had absolute dread. I was just like, fuck, have I got to sit through a whole album of this? Because I did not want to.
Sit through a whole album of this. It's just that it took the first track for you to reorient your brain around it.
Yeah,
because
maybe.
Because there's a lot more on the album that sounds like that. It's just that that first track is such an assault... sort of frantic fuzz and trebled out guitars, and after the relentless fucking feel good grooves of your band Andy Cooper, it really I had to swap the listening order because it just wasn't working for me. I couldn't actually assess the OC's album in any kind of fair context. The way that
I thought it was interestingly weird in some bits. I thought it was. Unlistenably weird in other bits, and then just weird in bits. It's sort of
King Gizzard then.
Yeah, it sort of bounced around, but like, you are right. Like, once I got over the shock of that first track, I enjoyed it a lot more, but I never really enjoyed that first track.
You kind of had to navigate through the first track of it. Yeah, I mean, there are some good tracks on here, and they do jump around. It's not all kind of frantic thrusting and you know, amplifiers full of gravel. They are trying some interesting shit, but that might be the problem. They're trying too much interesting shit. It is. I was kind of hoping it'd be more Bobby Lee's and less King Gizzard, but this is where we are. There's some good tracks on it, but approach with caution.
I
Black Mountain was the other reference I was thinking of. They're less proggy, and more thrashy, but they have got that same kind of, where the fuck are we going? Why have we taken quite so many drugs? Kind of feel to us.
Yes.
It doesn't have that kind of blues backbone that the Bobby Lee stuff has. You feel like, you know, the Bobby Lee stuff has a much more conventional structure to it that actually improves. You know, it's not a detriment. It's not to say it's boring. It's to say that it's hinging off like very, very old, ancient runes of music writing, and it's doing a fresh spin on that, which is why that album really works. I feel like they've kind of verged a bit too far off with this stuff.
I think ultimately, though,
but fans of this sort of stuff and fans of early John Spencer might like this sort of stuff. Early Blues Explosion, because Blues Explosion was much more like this, and in latter years sounded more like the Bobby Lees. As we discovered when we did them as a classic album sometime around Bathurst 2018, because that's how I recall listening to those albums, was watching Bathurst 2018 in someone else's house in Wanaka, because that was back when we used to go on holidays.
I think ultimately, though, after a few listens, I liked this more than 2 to 1. I think... 2 to 1,
which is the James Williamson, Dennis Tech, so the Stooges, Birdman, guitarist collaboration. 40 years later.
Yeah. So the interesting thing with that is it had a real guitar drive to the first couple of tracks, and I just found like the vocals sort of dragged me down into the mud a little bit as the album went on. It seemed to lose its purpose. And
well, Dennis Tech's the vocals are all Dennis Tech, and his vocals were always kind of low and gravelly. You know, if you listen to a track like Aloha Stephen Dano, which is probably their most, New Race, those are probably the most iconic tracks off of Radio Birdman's back catalogue. Aloha Stephen Dano was about, you know, Sydney being such a fucking boring, shitty town in 1978, that the only thing to do on a Sunday night was to stay home and watch Hawaii Five-O. But basically, the song is about thanks to Steve and Dano from Hawaii Five-O for giving him something to do. The nights are dark and empty while you're not on TV. But his, his vocals were always kind of gravelly as hell, but they are shot to fucking bits in this. So, and that is a real challenge. This is, you know, you can feel the bones and the structure of Stooges and Birdman tracks, but it's 30 years late. You know, it would have been brilliant to hear this 30 years ago when they had a bit more vibrancy about them, and Dennis Tech could fucking still fucking sing, because there's the riffs of that sort of stuff. But it's just, it's just there's just so much weathered age, and that's, you know, it's very cool that it's not to be ageist about it. It's just that the working parts don't work as well as they used to. You know, they're not quite as good as bashing out riffs. They're not quite as good at howling, and there is strong second divorce energy about a lot of the content, about being left and about relationship breakups. But it does feel like, second or third divorce energy. But yeah, it's a pair of old men from the Stooges and from Radio Birdman doing songs that would have fitted on a Stooges or Radio Birdman albums. It's exactly what you kind of expect it would be. And there's some back and bangers on this album, but there's also some dirges.
Yeah, the thing is, when they just play guitar,
this gap is where you talk.
It sounds really good. When they sing, it's not so good.
That opening track's a banger, isn't it?
Yeah, that opening track is just like, woo, we're on for a ride. And then it's just, I guess the adrenaline of that first track takes a couple of tracks to wear off. Because I get to the middle of the album and I'm like, man, this is just fucking depressing.
Yeah, there's a lot of singing about the people that, you know, talking about climate change. There's a lot of kind of Guardian Boomer. I'm not going to diss them for. I mean, they live in Hawaii. They climate change is something to be concerned by. But but it takes a while for enough. They can only have like two or three tracks with the intensity of Jetpack Nightmare, which is about, you know, fucked futurism, which is an interesting thought because these guys would have grown up, like, you know, people of my dad's vintage. They grew up with the idea of flying cars and nuclear power and all that sort of shit. And what they got was this. So it didn't quite work out the way that they were always told it was going to work out.
Not exactly what they signed up for.
No, not quite the jetpacks. Instead, we have social media algorithms. Yee. But we had all that content from Public Enemy last week, so we don't really need a different version of it from two old guitarists from Detroit punk bands.
If you like
this sound, it's worth checking out, but it's not going to trouble, I would adventure to say, the album of the year lists for either of us. I'm glad to see that it warms my heart that they're collaborating and that they're mates and that they live near each other and they hang out, because that's really cool. But I'm glad that they're recording, and that's about enough.
Track one is the exact sort of track that should go on the mixtape, because it's like like a really good song that you'd be quite happy to listen to again and again anytime. And then the rest of the album, let's just scrub that.
But there's a few other tracks as well that are decent in that respect. But if you go back and listen to Radios Appear, which is Birdman's debut album, or the Stooges' first two albums, they had it in their repertoire to go wandering off in a kind of a country-tinged dirge in a way that... It's not out of the tracks that are on this album that have low energy are not out of character for Radio Birdman or for the Stooges.
Yeah.
It's in a way, this is still true to format. It's just that, I mean, their old bands had the occasional track that sucked. It's not that surprising that when they get together, they still write the occasional kind of dirgy relationship moaner that also sucks.
Mm. Yeah. It just wasn't as interesting as the other two albums this week, I guess, is the sort of bottom line of it.
No, and that was why it was a joker. That was why it was a joker. Yep, I was more disappointed by the OC's album for being. I feel like they kind of just jerked that one off. You know, it was a lot of for a short album. There was a lot of faff that probably could have been thought about more carefully for a band that is supposedly. You know, they only get together to record when they're really serious about stuff. You know, they always South claim that they're breaking up because they, you know, whatever reason. They certainly didn't. It felt like a slightly wasted opportunity.
Hmm. Anyway, what track would you like to add to the boys' playlist this week?
I think basically anything off Andy Cooper's album. It's probably going to work.
Okay. The boys did get that because, like, that
I'll probably go with Heart.
That was a very kid-appropriate album this week, so they got played in the car quite a bit this week.
I can't imagine there was too much blue work in there. I can't recall there being a lot of...
it goes so fast.
Yes, it just skitters down off the fucking... It ricochets off the corridor.
Yeah.
I'd go with Heart or Listen or deluxe. Or probably more like Libby to Listen or Heart. Heart actually has the energy of Hold On, I'm Coming by Sam and Dave. You know, it's just a different version of that, but it's but sort of mixed with kind of black
sports. Yeah, Heart's a good one. Heart's a good one. I'll go with that.
Yeah, and it's the one that Young Einstein did the production on.
Yep.
And it's a good message for kids because it talks about, you know, keeping trying even though your shit's falling apart.
Mm.
Forging through the traumas and that sort of shit.
All right. So would you say I won the week then?
I think we have no choice but to let you win the week with the album that you commissioned.
That's right. Look, I wish
bag to Andy Cooper to write you an album.
Yeah.
Invoiced. Patreon receipt emailed to you on the first of the month.
I'm trying to decide. What have you got that's new? I'm trying to decide which one's going to be my joker and which one's going to be my actual
pick. How this works. If you, you need to get brave. I'll lay something out. I'm going to go for the new album by Frankie and the Witch Fingers. I think it's an album called Monsters Eating Other Monsters, or words to that effect. It's a psychedelic jam shit, but you know it's going to be a different kind of psychedelic jam shit to the last load of psychedelic jam shit, in theory at least.
I'm going with a guy called Elderbrook, who sort of came up in my jungle, rudimental, you know, I've got a bad feeling that it's going to be on the more poppy side of those concentric circles, but we'll see. The album is called Why Do We Shake in the Cold? Probably because you're fucking cold.
Parkinson's.
Parkinson's.
Monsters Eating People Eating Monsters was the track, the album that I was looking for. They're psychedelic, but they're more kind of poppy, fun sort of stuff. More if you have like sort of the 90s Britpop version of psychedelia than the, you know, what the OCs just did.
Look, I feel like I should like psychedelia
because
a
my
lot.
Brain doesn't work. I've totally fucking wiped whatever you told me out of my brain.
My album
to internet, yes.
Elderbrook. Why do we shake in the cold?
Elderbrook, white guy. What a surprise.
So,
why do we shake in the cold? All right, it's time. It's time. A live phenomenon. Oh, fuck off. No, we got to do this. We got to do this because his bio is a bag of wank.
Reading the bios.
Live phenomenon. Self-taught multi-instrumentalist, producer and singer/songwriter Elderbrook has a knack for creating emotive music that explores the sensitive and introspective themes of identity and mental health. Grammy and Ivor Novello nominated. 6.5 million Spotify listeners. Let me check that number. I cannot verify that at time of broadcast. Let's assume that's true. Oh, no, he's up to 7.6 million. So obviously this buyer did for him. 6.5 million Spotify listeners. Tours with Jungle, Bonobo, he toured with a fucking chimp, and Friendly Fires, and collaborations with Camel Fat, Diplo and Rudimental have earned him a revered reputation as a multifaceted, forward-thinking talent who is comfortable exploring a range of genres. Posted by Elderbrook.
Of course. So there's a...
Who's from? Where people listen, London GB. Okay. Actually, his listeners, most people listen in London, Sydney, Amsterdam, Mexico City and Hamburg. So that's interesting.
I have a threesome of sort of name artists that I've never really listened to their music, and so I was thinking about examining whether they're any good, but I'm not sure any of them are actually going to be enjoyable to listen to. So I'm trying to flip between you know, going with the big name that we don't, we would never normally listen.
Do you want to offer it up for the consideration? Okay,
so the three artists are A$AP Ferg, Alicia Keys, which I'm not sure whether it's a greatest hits or a, because it's called Alicia. That makes me suspicious that it's a greatest hits. And a Keith Urban.
So these are all new, yeah?
Yeah, these are all new albums. And a Keith Urban album.
We can put Keith Urban to the side because he's just a washed country cunt.
Or we could go with an Aboriginal guy from Warrnambool who I have no knowledge of at all.
You did weird internet things there. I totally missed that conversation.
Let's go with the Aboriginal guy from Warrnambool, Didiri, sold for sale. Warrnambool are probably more known for sportsmen, you know, Jonathan Brown and a whole bunch of cricketers, but maybe they can bang out a tune as well.
It's only an EP. Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, for a joker. Is that an EP? I thought it was a full album.
25 minutes.
Yeah.
It's called an album, tracks. But, you know, I would call it a...
You would call seven. It an EP. Unless it's punk and it doesn't look like it's punk. Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, 7 songs.
Sitting up there with a guitar, live at the Corner Hotel.
Okay.
Looks a bit like my brother. That's not my brother. Didiri Peters grew up in the coastal country, Australian countryside, the town of Warrnambool. He sings songs for fans of Harry Styles. What have you done? Why? Do you literally just pull a dartboard out and just put names on there? Anyway, we'll put that on.
Settle
on this one because it's only 25 minutes and how bad can it be?
That's true. Well, the other one that I was considering this week was one that sounded like... it would make my brain bleed. King Parrot. Have a look at King Parrot.
Oh, they are amazing.
Oh, are they? And okay,
by amazing, well, I mean fucking terrible. No, they're like a Sydney metal band, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. It's like...
Hold up in the lair. King Parrot.
Read their bio.
Hang on. Their bio. I have to read their bio, but I have to do a voice that might require another sip of beer. Their bio reads as follows. Like a pitchfork to the skull, King Parrot, I'm ready to tear through your eyes. Even Brain, once again with their third full-length release. Ugly produce, a step up in every sense. The reckless Aussies have topped themselves. I hope not. Sounds a bit grim. With another savagely brutal LP. A 10-track feast of distinguished punishing and powerful anthems. Veined deeply. Veined deeply is upsetting. Deeply in the extreme underground sound. Never heard band to shy away from their roots and the scene that gave both of them. King Parrot are forever on a mission to take this depraved, insidious recognition to audiences around the globe. The unique over-the-top sound is ever prevalent and honed further on Ugly Produce. While remaining true to the fundamental ideas the band started with, angst, aggression, absurdity, and antics. Pushed by King Parrot. Can I have a drink now?
Sure. So what do you want to go with, the singer-songwriter or the thrash metal band?
I think King Parrot, as I understand it, make thrash metal sound melodic. So
let's go with the delicate guitarist.
I think they would be quite funny if you could understand what the fuck they were singing. I think that would be kind of, they had that kind of Friends or Rom, you know, pisshead bogan sense of humor thing going on, but they are so hard to fucking make sense of that they might be a struggle. And also their new album's an EP. The album that they were talking about was released in 2017, so it's been so they don't have anything new.
It's 3 years for their vocal cords to recover. I really should just screenshot. Well,
the King Parrot's probably endangered after all this.
I think the
endangered, chopped up and done by fucking Brabantine, you cunts.
The podcast artwork this week should just be four little cubes of your waveform. Oh dear.
It should just be a fucking schooner full of lem sip, warm lemon and honey.
Oh, dear. All right. So, would you like to sign off? Would you like to do the outro in the King Parrot voice?
No.
No.
Not particularly.
Dad, why can't you talk today? I thought the podcast only went for like 30 minutes.
There was one time that I was doing a bit on the podcast and my children came down to check that I was okay. I wasn't having a fucking episode. It's interesting they haven't bothered to come down this time. They're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, Dad's podcasting.
That old fucking dickhead. He's just giving it
oh, dear.
Anyway.
That was Tripping Balls. This was balls. Tripping
Balls, a music review podcast of sorts. I was the dog. He was Beso. Until next week. What the fuck is it behind your guns?
Oh, I have to give you a prop, Doc. Picking the Joker album is hard.
You've just got to realize the problem is when the Joker album is actually the better album of the week, and then you kind of really feel like a failure because you're like, I had a genuine crack at picking a good album and one just I hurled some shit at the wall, and the shit made a prettier pattern than the thing I actually tried to come up with.
Yeah, I can't say, like, I went into the bios. There was nothing really that fucking... There was one that tickled my fancy, but it was a short EP, like a proper EP, like a 5-track, 17-minute EP. We've had a run of really good albums lately, so...
Last week for us, Public Enemy, one of the better albums of the week. I did like that Swayze album probably more than you did, but Public Enemy album was better than the Deftones album.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff happens. I mean, the Joker before that was Vicar and Linda, which was, you know, it was exactly what you expected it to be. It was...
I was hoping for a, like, I expected that, but was hoping that I would be surprised, and I wasn't surprised. So that's pretty much what you expect with the Joker. So.
You got what you played for.
Yep. All right. Yell it at the top of your lungs.
The milk.
Oh, dear.